Hello and welcome to the Rollmageddon podcast, the Coriolis Monument campaign, episode number, let me look at my sheet, 17. This is the Rollmageddon people doing the free league game, Coriolis. I am Jason, I am the game master. Here are five people who will be playing and telling stories tonight. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Oh, hello, it's me, the tantalizing Jafar Telai. Jane.
Yeah, it's me, Rebus McClintock, played by Sam. You ready for a story?
Hello, it's me, JC Waterfalls, played by Shelby.
And this is Stevie, playing Jun Collage, fighter pilot. And can I have my character sheet, Jason?
Do I have your character sheet?
You have my character sheet.
Okay.
And this is Ali playing Zulfikar, Zul. It's episode 18, not 17. Just clarification.
It's session 17.
Episode 5 of season 2.
This should be episode 17. We did 17. 12 in the first season, and now we're on the 5th of this. 13, 14, 15,
so we're
16,
in episode
17.
5.
Come on, Captain.
Wait a minute. Why do I have... Hold on.
You've been one... I look at your notes every time, and you're like... I'm like... Oh, you're one off.
Yeah, sugar plum.
Captain.
No, wait. How long have I been off for?
Okay, don't eat food and talk into the mic. That's been frustrating the living fuck out of me during edits.
Sorry. So, what was episode 15? Was that JC Waterfalls joining?
That would have been episode 14.
So then 15 was
I guess...
15 was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, it was 14. No, 14? Yeah, 14. So wait.
14 is when we met JC, yes. Season 2... Episode 14.
Yes, then you flew to Mira. Then you went down onto Mira and hung out and did drugs and got your assignment.
Oh, I missed episode 15. That's where we went wrong. I'm going to fix that. Sorry.
Wait, how are you one up, though? Oh, because you skipped over.
Yeah, 15. I skipped 15.
Anyway, can anyone tell us what happened last time?
Captain?
Oh, you really won't. Okay. Then in episode 16, we are currently piloting the Starship Reliquary. I was playing as Frank McLeod. And we went to, was it Chelub? Well, there's Brick City, Chelub City, Pangea Sea. Let's see, hold on. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, people loved me. I sang, I performed with my hand fan.
I played the slots and kept an eye on the door.
So we met the Weasley Zuberi with a goatee. He smelt of affluence, but he was dressed down. He also had an aura of criminality. And he sent us on a mission along the Yadaman Trail to the Valley of Monuments. It's a frequently pilgrimed trail.
Not frequently.
No, I thought it was. There's a lot of pilgrims on it.
There's pilgrims on it, but it's
not frequented, and it's not well guarded.
It's a little less frequented because of the problems they've had on it.
Yeah, I thought it just wasn't well maintained. But anyway,
That's why it's not frequently.
Okay, well, there were some pilgrims on it. Anyway, we're going along the Yadaman Trail to the Valley of Monuments. We're going to the archaeological dig site. It's a portal builder site, allegedly. And we are supposed to meet Shay Distala. She's an archaeologist, and she will give us an item. We are to discreetly bring the item back to Anastasia, our patron on Coriolis.
You forgot the part where I rolled like 6 successes.
Oh, wait, I haven't hit...
We haven't had a sandstorm yet.
Yeah. Oh,
damn. We'll skip to that part.
Sorry. Okay, then we eventually... We're traveling along the trail. We'd packed up our gravcraft, and we were with some pilgrims. We were passing by them real fast because they were like walking and we were gravcrafting. We got hit by a sandstorm. JC managed to steer us into a real steep chasm and somehow flip the gravcraft around and back it into a cave, basically sealing most of the storm out of the cave. And allowing us to freely hang out inside the cave while the front of the craft is kind of just taking the brunt of it. While we were setting up, an old traveler came in carrying a big pack, and he identified himself as Yao Shin. And he shared a meal and some strange alcohol with us. And he asked us to trade stories. I think that's where we left off.
That is the most factual reaccount. Yeah.
That's detailed. That was good.
So, yeah, that's where you are. Sitting in the cave. And for those who forget, Yao Jin seems to be in his 70s. Old man, whereas wearing a pack almost or larger than he was. Leaning heavily on a small wooden walking stick. Dark eyes, deeply tense skin. Wisps of silver hair on his head and his chin. Durable practical clothing. And sandals on his feet. And he's been handing out delicious wine and fruits and dried meats. And wanted to share stories while you wait for the storm to pass. Now, who has the first story they'd like to share? Oh, by the way, you have 12 darkness points.
Before we start, can I ask a question about him? Does he have any, like, can I make some sort of roll to investigate to see whether he has any, like, traits that would identify him as
read that not what he mind.
Is? Yeah, can I... I don't want to read his mind. Does he have a... Can I read sensitivity if he's a mystic? Like, is he a mystic?
Make a mystic power thing roll thing.
Mystic power.
Make a vibes check.
I want to make sure before we start talking to this guy that he is either who he says he is.
He's vibing.
I think he's a someone else in disguise.
I mean, I could also observe him too because I don't trust him as well.
Yeah, I mean,
food, but
I mean, we already drank this like liquid he gave us that he's been slugging.
Well,
so
you did.
Well, I mean, yeah, I already drank this liquid that he gave us. So
we could ask him to go first and share his story before we tell anything about us.
Me being me, I don't believe him.
Okay, I got two successes.
You're definitely getting sort of a mystic vibe off him. He seems to have, and I think he mentioned it, impaired vision.
Okay.
But you notice that he seems to react to the world around him as if he doesn't. He seems to, almost as if the rest of his senses are highly heightened versus his dwindling sight.
He's a daredevil.
No wonder I hear a high-pitched sound every couple seconds. It's because he has echolocation.
Interesting. Does he just appears relaxed?
Yeah, he's tossed back three or four of these little cups of wine, and you can see it's already seems to be affecting him. Strong wine.
Should we break out some rash? Rash storytelling sash?
What? Absolutely. A rash. He ate it all.
Yeah. He just ate some. We'll break out some cured rash.
All right.
We'll offer it to the old man. Or I will.
Okay, yeah.
Or travel hookah.
He partakes.
All right.
And while you do that, he sets aside the wine and busts out what some of you probably recognize as a concoction.
Cock?
Known as Daibul Tea, which is, Daibul is an ocean planet. Down on the far side, opposite of the algal route. And Daibul tea is made basically from algae that grows on this planet. And it's very strong, and it wakes you right. A lot of caffeine in it. And as he's doing that, he says, as the old saying goes, wine to make a new friend, and strong tea to know them. And he starts... Oh, he pulls out this sort of like little mini stove that obviously has some sort of reactor like in it. Starts boiling the tea.
I'm already heating some water if he needs that.
You got some hot water over there?
Yeah, I was already like heating up the rations and stuff that I brought since we were going to be here a while.
The whole thing is he's throwing the tea into the pot and boiling it.
Oh, is it like one of those like Wolfgang Puck type things where you like twist it and the thermal reactor in it like heats the can of soup inside of it?
That would be dope.
Yes.
So who has the first story to share?
Who wants to go first? No one?
I like being second.
I can go first.
I'll do number three.
Okay.
That's funny because you were, you were second in that race you just did.
Who are you, old man? Oh my god.
How do you know that?
That was actually a voice in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Can I see if he has like any weapons on him?
No doubt. Not my
He appears to be unarmed, aside from a wooden walking stick.
All right, old man.
I'm leery.
I want to tell you my story, so I hope you're ready. It's the I always think the best stories are about people, and my story, well, it's about me. I grew up on a small and what some would consider a backwater planet, but as a child, all I knew was love, comfort, and happiness, due in no small part to my parents. They gave us everything they could, but most importantly, they passed on what knowledge they had to their children. Thinking back on it now, I think they saw that as the most important gift they could give to help us succeed and grow into people of our own. My father was a brilliant engineer, taking pride in being able to fix just about anything, from a multi-billion-dollar Burr spacecraft to my mother's toaster. I loved to just watch him meticulously take things apart, studying how they'd worked, and then putting them back together just right so they'd hum like a June bug. Sitting on his lap, asking my little girl questions, and listening to him recite the answers in a low, slow tone so I could understand them, down to the very last turn of the screw, and then looking at a job well done. My mother was a fixer too, but of a different kind. She looked after her family, but I think she saw herself not only as a mother to us, but to the larger community. She ran a small clinic of sorts, treating anyone who was in need and couldn't wait or afford a trip to the old Sawbones up the street, who not only lacked her bedside manner, but her true love and compassion. We often sat with her and watched as she showed us how to set broken bones, stitch up drunks who bit off more than they could chew in a fight, and even the occasional bullet from someone who stood up to what passed as the authority on our planet. We did what we could to help, and eventually grew into helping others ourselves as we grew a little older and learned how. I loved our life and learned everything from them, inheriting their skills and learning how to fix, well, almost anything, which I still love doing. I guess in some way, I feel as though I'm carrying on their love when I see a broken converter humming away or an injured person get back on their feet. And then she winks at Jafar, because she picks up Jafar. I met what I thought was the love of my life, Dennis, and I couldn't wait to be a mother of my own, sharing my love and passing down what my parents taught me and taking care of them. We had three beautiful kids, and for a brief time, everything was just how I imagined it would be as a little girl. But as happens all too often, and not always for the better, things changed. Not only for us, but the community in general. Good paying and honest work became scarce on my planet. We heard of people hunting down those who were born different. Crime became more rampant, and so did the authority tasked with keeping order. They became more violent, to the point where it was hard to know who was worse. I did what I could, of course, seeing every challenge as a new problem to fix, because that's what I'm best at, right? And I did for a while, but Dennis started to change, spending more time away, more money at seedy joints, coming home later and drunker. And then Rebus looks down, and then she says, and meaner. So I did what I do best. I tried to fix it, of course. But the more I tried, the worse things became. Then I learned about Barbarous Genus, a space courtesan that Dennis was seeing behind our back. I didn't want to lose what we had, what I dreamed about as a little girl, so I begged and I pleaded, offered to do about anything just to fix things and get back what we had. But I couldn't fix it. For the first time in my life, I couldn't fix it, and I had to watch as everything fell apart, shattering into a million pieces with no way to put them back together. Dennis left, and we were alone, alone and damn near broke. I did what I could for a while to keep us afloat, working double shifts at Space Lube, fixing up shady characters, even sometimes resorting to more unsavory things to keep food on the table, stepping into my red velvet dress trimmed that had a split clean up to the side of my hip, working under the name Fancy, but never forgetting why I was there with the drunks with a few extra burr in their pockets and desire in their hearts to fix things for my family. Things couldn't last that way. I couldn't stand to see my babies cry themselves to sleep hungry every night, and that's why I'm out here, to hopefully make enough money to take care of them the way I always dreamed and the way that they deserve. I'm still here, though, doing what I love, fixing stuff, but there are some things I didn't plan on out here. I didn't plan on finding myself out here, discovering more about myself, which I'm very thankful for, but I guess if I'm being honest with myself, I also feel a little guilty for. Being so far away from them, missing out on seeing them grow, and not being able to pass on my parents' knowledge to them. I know they're safe and being taught good with full bellies, but I feel as if I'm failing them all the same. I also didn't expect to make a whole new family out here, those who I love and dearly trust with my life. But I'm also scared. I'm here to fix stuff, which, don't get me wrong, I love to do, but there's also that little voice in the back of my head that says, what if there's just something else I just can't fix? Something else that breaks and tears my new family apart? What if there's something wrong with them that I can't fix and I'll have to watch them die because I can't fix them? We got really close and really lucky with Walter, but what if I don't have what it takes and everything breaks and shatters into a million pieces again, and it's all my fault? They count on me to fix things, and I'm good at what I do, and I love to fix things, but what if I just can't, and I lose them again? And then Rebus cries into her hands.
I give Rebus a big hug.
Yeah.
It's okay, Rebus. You got your groove back.
I just want to fix things.
This is a very strong story. Feels heart and honesty. Takes much bravery to tell a tale like this. I appreciate your story.
You're welcome. Feels good to get it all out.
I'm sure whatever you do, your children will learn to appreciate your motives, and that your ends will end perhaps happier than some chapters of your life.
I hope so. I just hope they're real proud of me wherever they are, because I'm trying to fix things.
At this point, tea is done, and he passes it around. You get that real strong, it's like an earthy smell with like a little bit of like saltwater, like smell of the sea to it. He pours a cup for you all and passes it around. Again, sipping
Captain's
it.
Blend.
As if you have never had Daibul tea.
I think either.
Then you might want to sip slowly.
Who?
Take a sip.
I take a sip.
I'll take a little nib.
He bites your tongue. You feel awake.
I'll take a big old chug on my own because I'm used to it.
Coughing and sputtering.
I mean, as a hacker, how many energy drinks do I drink? My heart rate turns to normal.
I mainline this shit, old man. Whose story shall be next?
I can go, although Rebus, you're a beautiful storyteller. Has anyone ever told you that?
Thank you. I threw a little fancy in there, too. So.
Absolutely. You drew me in. And it's not on you to fix everything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
My story is different. My story came out of self-reflection. How did I end up here? Driving, piloting, on what I assume is not a totally legal transaction here, which I have no qualms with, but I thought back to my childhood. I come from a family of two older siblings, watching them go off one by one to become huge in the cool pop scene, and I just knew, that I was supposed to do the same. Obviously, I'm here, I'm doing the same. But what I really wanted to do was, I've always been interested in cars and driving, and we had the money, so why not? But every time I was caught, my parents would always, you know, chastise me, ask me why I'm not dancing. We have a state-of-the-art dance studio. I have all of the instructors. I'm supposed to be rapping, writing my verses. And it's just, I wasn't interested in any of it. And my uncle, Uncle Jay, he would always take me, when I would get in trouble for messing with cars or whatever, he would take me to the track. Jay was also a driver. He was not famous, but it was a hobby of his. Anyway, he would take me out after my parents were off at whatever gala, and he would train me at various places around the town without my parents knowing. It really fostered my love for the road. I still loved music, of course, but there's nothing like being behind the seat of a car. One day, however, my uncle says, I think you're doing a really good job. And I said, well, thank you. He's like, I'm going to need you to meet me here. And he hands me an envelope with an address on it. Now, I know my family doesn't come from clean money, but I really never know what they got up to. And it turns out he was just training me to use me as a courier. Exactly what I'm doing now. Except for a lot less money. A family discount, I guess. But I'm hoping that with a couple big drives, I never have to do this for money again, and I could just do it for the love of the race. That's all.
Traveler brings people places to teach them lessons. Perhaps that is why you are here. You seem to have the blood of the traveler flowing through your veins, move from one spot to another. He raises his cup of tea. A toast to the traveler, and wherever he may bring you, whatever revelations he may bring.
To the traveler.
Traveler.
Clink.
Whose story shall be next?
I'll go. Mine's short, it's sweet, it comes from scripture, and it has a really, really close tie to me. So there was once a hunter named Gel, part of this like nature cult in the forest. And one day he came across this boar that was attacking someone. And this hunter saved this person. This person's name was Giannis. And ever thankful, Giannis promised Gel to take him to his father for a reward for saving his life. And so they travel out of the forest into the city-state of Sijani, and they met with the father. Turns out he was the king of the city-state. And as soon as he had finished speaking to the king, the soul of Gel and this person, Giannis, were knit. They were together, bonded by this one heroic act. And with the approval of the Hunter's Guild in the forest, they were sort of like, had a, like this bodyguard prince relationship. However, as time passed, the city-states and this Hunter's Guild, nature cult, whatever you call it, the relationship between those two fractured, and conflict arose between them. Eventually, the two were torn apart, lines were drawn, and the other had to die. And from that day, Gel swore never to live with the Hunter's Guild and moved on. Yeah.
An interesting story. What would you say is the moral?
That I still reflect on that and what it could mean, you know? I think it's maybe not necessarily that love can overcome anything, but I don't know. It's a complex thing, you know, emotions dealing with it. Like, how do you reconcile between love and obligation?
I think perhaps love is just one form of obligation. How to judge which obligation comes first? That is a story that humankind will be asking itself until we all return to dust. I appreciate your story. Another round of tea, perhaps. Perk us up. We wait for the storm to pass.
Here's to love.
And here's to obligation.
There was a hacker named Jeffa whose skills were beyond compare. He met an AI hologram and fell for his seductive glam. Now his heart and his coat are in disrepair. Jafar searched far and wide. For his love, he could not let him hide. He hacked through every firewall and searched every virtual hall. But finding him seemed an impossible stride. Jafar could not believe what he had found as he searched the digital ground. The AI hologram was no other but a projection of himself, a twin brother. His search for love had turned him around. And that is why I sleep with a mirror on my ceiling.
The old man begins to laugh heartily.
Jesus.
I have not laughed like that in a while. Usually when I share stories with people, comedy and, well, poetry is frequent, comedy is not, unless they're telling dirty limericks.
Well, in my culture, limericks were quite literally passed down.
I appreciate it very much. Perhaps this storm is a blessing instead of just another inconvenience of the desert. Let's see, we have one more story to tell.
Two?
Oh, well, of course.
No.
Of course, I will tell.
I have more stories, too, but I was kind of waiting to hear more about you, sir.
Well, perhaps your captain here will tell his story. I tell mine, if you wish to tell more, then we always have time until the storm abates.
Very well. Let me tell you a story of triumph and surrender. When I was a young man, I was marooned on an escape pod in the infinite sea of space. I found myself the sole survivor, destined to drift into the eternity. Gradually, I ran out of food and resources available, and inevitably found myself contemplating the nature of my reality and reality in general. I had long since reached out with all the sensors and means available to me, and weeks had passed, until inevitably I just lay in the dark, in defeat. I then reached out with other means and discovered in the blackness of space a myriad of sounds and odd thought patterns that were alien to myself. Soon, whether through delirium or overexertion, I inevitably fell into a stupor, overcome by the vastness of what surrounded me. I lay in this state for an unknowable period of time. It could have been centuries for all I recall of it, but eventually all the noises subsided until there was just a great silence and emptiness. And in this emptiness, there was presence, a universal order, one might say. And in this order, I realized that we all had a place, and perhaps mine was to die in the ship. And with that resolution, I surrendered myself unto death. Several days passed, the despair having long since gone, when suddenly I spotted a light where there should be none, a light in the darkness, and suddenly I found myself renewed. The vigor that had left me suddenly crept back to my gaunt bones, and I found myself signaling with every antenna on the ship, and that is how I came to be a member of the Mahdi, a beautiful vessel. Perhaps someday you'll see it, but there was a different crew then, but we were one, and suddenly my emptiness and my aloneness, it didn't matter because we were a group. And eventually, as fate does, my crew were taken from me, until only Walter and I remained. And now all of you have joined, and I suppose you are all my light in the darkness.
Oh.
And now we fly the reliquary.
Yeah, I didn't say it was our ship.
Whoops.
As simple couriers.
I'm sure he's not.
Oh, he's a cop.
Yeah, yeah. If he lifts out a badge.
Yeah. Well, there's five of us, so.
Gotcha.
I've got a grenade, so let's see what happens.
Well, what Jason failed to narrate is that there was actually a squadron of armed men behind the
sitting
cave,
out in the storm waiting to come
for
in.
Us.
You guys never checked. I'm just saying.
No, we.
I've got.
I was very adamant about me putting the drone near the entrance of the cave to keep scanning.
I've got 9 grenades, so.
And then somehow, he cave. Just slips in, like says, "Hey, I'm walking in," and the drone doesn't even notify me that he was there. So.
Ooh, it's hard making up stories.
You get some truth.
It's a little nerve-wracking making a story up on the spot when you forget to prep something. When
you forget to do your homework.
I did the mental homework. I just didn't know you guys were going to come up with, like, written out.
Oh, I had all of it in here as soon as we started recording.
That's why I wrote it down, because I was like, I'm going to get too nervous to, like, try to remember everything.
Shouldn't have let Sam go first, though. That was a real... I was like, oh, God.
I wrote it pretty fast, too. But, I mean, I have the idea for the story.
No, it's good. A great story. I really enjoyed it.
I still have more. That was just the tension breaker, since I figured everybody's stories were going to be sad.
No, I love that yours was a limerick, and I love that it was a limerick that kind of used, like, MF Doomy rhymes, where they're not quite right, but they still kind of rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
The slant rhyme.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
Emily Dickinson also did a lot of that.
What really? Is it called?
Slant rhyme.
Slant rhyme. I like MF Doomy rhyme better.
Well, because MF Doom is because MF Doom is dead. I want to dedicate something to
MF Doom is. You know, I did not.
I kind of want to get one of those masks with like a
tattoo.
I should get an MF Doom tattoo. I'm totally good. That'd be my first tattoo.
I think it's worth it.
It's totally. I don't
be really good actually.
Matching. I'm gonna get my Matchbox 21 when you get your MF Doom one.
Oh my god, let's stop right there.
Just quick question, where would I get it though? Like tramp stamp?
Face
yeah. Tat.
If we're doing that, rib. I'll get like a Tegan and Sarah like tattoo, but like when they had the mullets in like the
yes.
early 2000s.
I want Tegan on one ass cheek and Sarah on the other. Squeeze them,
and right between when you spread your cheeks, it says "so jealous" like right in the crack.
Oh my god!
I think also Tegan and Sarah like tattooed up one Tegan above one eyebrow and Sarah.
All right, so that just Let's gave you 3 darkness points.
Yes. Let's have a smoke and I'll tell you another story.
How about we listen to Yeljin's story?
Oh.
You have something to think about while we're out there cancerifying ourselves. That's interesting story. I think you may find mine somewhat similar. As it also has to do with things that live within the blackness. This is an old, old story. One that I seldom tell. People tend to grow bored with it rather quickly. They don't understand. But for those who travel amongst the stars and have had as many interesting experiences as you have, perhaps you may find it to be fun. Or at least informative. It is a story known as the Tale of Birds and Mice. Once upon a far world, an ocean world, there was an island. And upon that island lived a race of birds. They grew over millions of years to become as intelligent as any human is today. They built cities and invented technologies and did all the things that we today take for granted. They flew in the skies, exploring their world, finding new islands, settling them, expanding their lands, and spreading their children. But it took them many years to travel to and from these other islands, but the skies were filled with dark storm clouds, which hindered their movement, blocking them from going where they wished to go. Eventually, the birds came upon another race, one of mice. These mice were just as intelligent, with their own cities, their own technologies. At first, the two species lived in harmony. They shared their knowledge and their culture. They grew together as brethren. But the birds grew greedy for more islands. The mice became a threat, taking lands that the birds believed should be their own. So the birds, filled with desire to populate every island with their own kind, braved the heart of the dark storms so that they might find uninhabited islands quicker and claim them before the mice did. In the meantime, the mice had found their own ways to fly and discovered other ways to travel through the storms. They found that holes existed within the patterns of the storms and that those holes could be navigated without harm. But this travel took more time, more caution, and the birds were impatient, so they denied safety and did not heed the warnings of the mice. Traveling through the heart of the storms was indeed quicker, but left the birds marked. For dark and malicious forces dwelled within the storms. The birds kept their eyes closed while they flew to stave off the corruption. This seemed to work, but not for all of them. For some of the birds sought out the forces in the storms as allies. They allowed the corruption to fill them, to change them. And with the changes came blood. It was not long before corruption spread deep within the very essence of the birds. Their leaders succumbed to the corruption. Their children were born with the corruption in their blood. The birds became pawns of the creatures in the storms, and they warred upon the mice. The mice were a people of peace and fell quickly beneath the onslaught. Not satisfied with merely destroying their rivals, the birds sought to eliminate the corruption's greatest threat, the icons themselves. But they did not prove up to the task, and so they fell. Their names faded into time, erased, as there were none left alive to remember. He takes another sip of his tea. And now we can have a cigarette.
He's definitely an icon. 100% icon. Yeah. The fuck does he know?
Everybody's an icon.
No, how does he know the story if there's nobody to remember? He's an icon.
So the birds are the Force Come and the mice are the Zenithian.
So, Yaojun finishes his story, takes a sip of his tea.
Yaojun?
Yeah.
Yaojun.
Yaojun. What?
I thought it was Yao Xin.
Yao Xin.
How do you spell it?
I spelled it Z-H-I-N, but I could be fucking it up.
I spelled it Y-A-L-S-H-I-N because that's how I heard it was Yao Xin.
Yao Xin.
I heard Yao Xin.
I heard the
X-U-N.
I think my attempt was to pronounce it halfway between one and the other.
I feel like this is like the real important thing that people need to hear is like, because you never know how people write it down in the notes unless you get like the primer.
You just call him whenever you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can call him right.
Just call him Walter if you want to.
Or does the common tongue of the Coriolis, like, does not differentiate between voiced and unvoiced consonants?
Well, there's many different languages in the lands of the Third Horizon.
Is this an accent thing?
Who knows?
Can I try to understand the story he just told with some observation?
No, you're not rolled dice to understand the story he just told.
Could I do a culture roll to see if I have any insight onto the allegory within the story? Or do I have to solely rely on my own mental prowess?
I mean, you could make a culture roll to see if there are any similar tales.
Could I make a manipulation roll to try to ask him to actually tell a story about himself? I want to know who he is.
I have told my story. Besides, he kind of turns and looks over his shoulder. The storm is beginning to let up. They rarely last for more than an hour.
Well,
that seems convenient.
That was a nice way to spend an hour, I suppose.
So, would you mind if we asked you just a few questions?
If you must, but I cannot promise that I will have answers.
Very well. You mentioned the mice. Are the mice all gone?
According to the story, yes.
Where'd you come across this story? I've never heard it before.
I have collected stories from many places across this planet and the others I have been to in my many years.
Wait. Are you going to use our stories when you talk to like a next group of five people that come about and there's a storm?
I may share these stories, yes. Not perhaps in your same voice. And of course, names will be changed to...
Also, privacy. Can we treat some? I like start like jittering. I'm like, can we have some that tea, to go?
You wish some of my daibu tea?
Yeah. I'll give you some arash.
This sounds like a sound trade. Arash is hard to come by around. When you're in the desert, at least, and not the city.
He reaches into his gigantic bag, ruffles through some stuff, pulls out a small, like fist-sized pouch. Yeah.
I take the Diabool tea.
How long have you been on this planet?
That is a good question.
Why are you here?
To see, to walk, to wander, to travel, to meet strangers in caves and share stories.
Where were you born?
This is an even better question. Far, far away from here.
Is it a planet we had heard of?
Perhaps.
Would what you planet? Mind?
I'm sorry?
What planet?
I really don't see where it's necessary to know such small details. What planet does it matter? Planet of ice? Planet of fire? Planet of water?
Are you a water planet all the same. Person? Are you a bird?
I am no bird. I have no wings
Are
to
you
fly.
A mouse? Are you a mouse?
Well, no, I'm not a mouse either.
Well, no.
Weren't they all eaten by the birds?
Am I a bird?
Yes, many strange questions.
You told a strange tale.
It was a story to share.
Yes, but you said it would be important for us to hear. And you didn't
I
share
said
it
you
often.
May find it entertaining or important. This... Within your own heart, whether you see it as important enough to take to heart or remember or tell the tale again so that it might not be lost.
What do you know of the icons?
As much as any person, I suppose, and less than many.
Did anybody else get any of that local currency? Because I gave all of mine away at that temple.
Oh, you can have...
I did.
I would say give some to him.
Okay.
You're trying to hand him some money?
The gems.
No. Currency to me is not very useful. I live off the land, and
yes.
I trade stories, not baubles.
But if you run into other people, you can give that to them. Pass it on.
This is perhaps true, but I find it better to pass on a story that they might learn. I am what you might refer to as against material goods.
And why do you have such a big pack?
When you wander through the desert for many weeks, you need many supplies. This pack may be full today, but it will be empty tomorrow.
Perfect sense.
Well, I suppose if you're all done grilling our friend here.
No, I had a couple.
May the traveler be with you?
I had a couple more questions.
Apparently no, we're not done grilling.
Ah, inquisitive group, aren't you?
Do you have a family? Have you had a family?
I have had more than one family, yes.
Dennis?
If you were an icon, what icon would you be?
I'll try to sneak it in there.
Hey, are you God?
Tricky.
No. Are you God?
It's me, Margaret.
You God, bro? I mean, I'm just saying, if you were an icon, which icon would you be?
I don't know, honestly. I never thought about being an icon. Seems like much too much work.
Just like how I'd never think about being a person, right?
Oh, you never took the BuzzFeed quiz? Which icon are you?
I don't get Google out here in the desert.
Let me ask you a few quick questions.
Wait. If Columbo, you were a breakfast food, just one more question.
Are safe travels very important to you?
Africa. What month were you born?
Where are you born? The forest, the desert, a lake, or a cityscape?
And as you're grilling him, the sandstorm dies down, it's passed over you, and moved deeper into the desert.
I'll start packing stuff up.
He starts collecting his glasses, and if there's any undrinking wine or tea, he literally just pours it back into the jugs for later.
Oh, I finished the teas. I'm like shaking.
You guys are all, woo! You're awake. And then he begins packing up his giant pack.
Yeah, I'll inspect the craft to see if Sam gotten any of them.
Crevices?
Nooks and crannies. Crevices.
All right, go ahead and make your technology roll.
Oh, shit, I don't have any of my dice out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I haven't had to roll any dice for an hour.
Two successes.
On what?
Technology.
Oh, are you inspecting it as well then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You go over it, and there's a couple. It looks like it's going to need a couple of scrubs here and there just to make sure that things don't bind up. But for the most part, I mean, it's going to run fine.
Did you say it needs some scrubs? We ain't got none.
We got no scrubs.
We ain't got none. What are we going to do?
Rebus pulls out her trusty wire brush.
Hold on, let me just hang out the back window. Now you do.
I think that's worth a darkness point. Go
ahead. You can take one away for that. Yeah, totally cool. 11, right?
No, it'll be 10, because we're supposed to take one away from the beginning.
And then Yajin picks up his pack, labors it onto his back, leans heavily on his walking stick, and bid you farewell, a slight bow. May your journeys be safe. May we find what you seek. And hobbles his way out of the cave, and begins turning away from the road and walking straight into the desert on the trail of the storm.
Like he's not going to the place where we're going?
No, he's heading right out into the middle of the dusty plains where there's nothing.
Weird.
Icon.
What's he doing out there? Is there anything out there that we know of?
Like, maybe he can't is see the anything. Storm.
You just see the tail end of the storm as it's like racing its way, I want to say westward, but I can't remember which direction you guys are going.
Well, is it just me, or did that dude seem sketchier than we are?
I mean, that could have been more than what we thought it was, so. It was a nice interaction overall, I thought. Share some stories.
What was the name of the Snarer? Like the local name for it.
For what?
The person who goes out and catches you.
It could be a person, it could be a thing, monster.
A goat.
The local legend that's been eating people's bones or whatever.
The cryptid. I did write that down, but I forgot what it was.
I thought it was made up.
Well, I mean, it was like a cryptid, like a Bigfoot, like a Loch Ness, Chupacabra, Mothman.
Oh, I thought it was just people. Like, you know.
Well, we don't know.
Like an allegory for bandits?
Yeah. Maybe it's a bird.
It's an old man with a giant backpack. They're back.
It could be him, too. He could have been the ensnarer.
Largening and smalling thing. He has this big pack that I don't care about material things, but he's got everything he owns on his back.
Maybe
and
it's a cyborg.
Yalshir the ensnarer. That's the one.
Yalshir, Yalshin.
Oh.
Raise eyebrows.
Yalshir.
Through a couple consonant mutation, linguistically, it's feasible.
Yalshir.
Can I make an observation roll to see if that was the monster of the desert?
Not really.
No, think about it this way.
He's a mystical powers roll. Is it a monster?
Think about it this way. Like could he, like, he coincidentally shows up with this? I mean, yeah. Shows up with the storm. Maybe like the local legend of the ensnarer is the storm. It is an allegory for the storm, and he is the physical manifestation of that.
Maybe we pass some kind of test by telling him a good story, or
well, we're alive, so yeah. I mean,
he did ensnare us with a good story, I suppose.
But two was pretty good too.
Yeah,
absolutely gripped.
Maybe we're meant to learn that story.
Well, I took exquisite notes while he was telling it, if you guys want to read through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we
this
have
a handout.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I have photographic memory and can reiterate it.
And it's very jittery on this algae water.
Oh, yeah. This algae water is like insane.
I recorded it on my pad. This whole speech.
So y'all get back in your grab craft, drive back to the road, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the sun is starting to go down and you still got a couple hours before you make it to the Valley of Monuments.
Road can trip. I try to get us there in a very quick amount of time?
If you want to risk accidentally running over a pilgrim, sure.
What's another old lady?
What's another one?
Could I assist with that by putting the drone on the front for some extra light?
No.
It's not kill anyone. Dark
yet. Oh, well.
Now, as you drive away from the cave...
Another person?
As you drive away from the cave and back to the road, you all get the strange sensation that you forgot something. Like, you get that thing where you're, like, checking your pockets for your keys or your wallet or, you know, that kind of a feeling. And you realize that you're not sure, but you feel like you left something behind in the cave. I'm going to remove 5 darkness points.
My purse.
That's my purse.
I gotta go. I left my iron on.
My cool pop photo cards.
Do I need to turn around?
It's just like a nagging sensation that everyone has.
Turn around.
Can we check everything on us to make sure we have everything we have?
Yeah, seems like everything's there.
We're not, like, missing anything?
Do I remember my story?
Yes.
Do we remember his story?
Yes.
Yeah. We took exquisite notes. Almost handout quality. Mm-hmm.
Should we go back?
How far away are we?
About halfway to the road.
We'll see if the cave's still there.
I shake the back of JC's headrest and go, let's go!
And then I'll turn it around.
All right, so you head back to the cave?
We'll head back.
All right, it is just the way you left it. You look around, everybody's searching for their wallets or purse or whatever, and you find nothing, just the old the remnants of the camp that was there for however long ago.
The Coriolis equivalent of PKW, phone keys wallet.
Pretty much, yeah. Datapad, communicator.
Datapad, personal holograph.
So we didn't leave anything behind then, except for that those darkness points that we don't know about.
Yes, you just didn't leave anything behind except for your burdens.
So, presumably, an icon could clear darkness points too, right? Like, because an icon is...
Here we just have a clear conscience after telling our stories.
Or that was the somebody.
Or maybe it's the corruption around. Leaving us.
Head to the metal.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's not metagame this and continue on our story.
Yeah, we can chat about it on the road, I guess.
Yeah,
we can
driving back towards where I'm supposed to.
Discuss the philosophical.
Okay, there was something weird about that guy, though, right?
There was something weird about that guy.
Like,
yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't tell us what planet he was born on.
I think old men are just like that.
I don't think so. I met a lot of old men, and they're usually, like, happy to tell you all the boring details of their youth.
They'll tell you what they had for breakfast when they were 13.
I mean...
Can I observe my thoughts?
What?
And see if when he, that character with his big pack, if he reminded me of the way the other, that woman that I ran over, is it the same vibe?
Dead woman
his
vibe?
Size, the way he walked, the pack itself, and even the cane that he was leaning on all remind you of the old woman in the tunnel.
Was it the same kind of was it the same cane?
No, it was shaped very similar, but it was made of wood as opposed to metal.
Well,
I'm surprised you didn't catch that one last game.
No, I did. I absolutely did. When he walked in with the pack.
Dang, why you? You should have asked a question about that while we were grilling him.
Yeah, too late now.
Have you been ran over recently?
Yeah.
JC's just like, nah, it's not. No way. There's no way that's it.
Did you
this journey's too weird already.
Did you get decapitated by a hovercraft that was jumping over a jump about 10 feet in the air?
Also, were you an old lady at the time?
Can you change your gender at will?
Are you now, or have you ever been an old woman?
Old lady on the streets getting ran over and decapitated.
How do you feel about pedestrian traffic laws?
Why would you be wandering the streets at night with a giant pack?
Yes, thank you. On a race course.
Like the old lady in Batman Returns.
To find stories.
An old woman steps out in front of a race car and gets killed.
No one got killed.
This is not going to end the pre. Yeah.
No one cannot
get your groceries.
Yeah, no, there was no body.
Nobody. No we also, one got killed.
Wait, do we don't know
we
this.
We don't
story.
Know about this.
No, we're just stressing nope. Shelby. Okay.
I'm just keeping it in my brain. Yeah. I guess.
Well, that's why I didn't ask, because you don't want us to ask about the old lady.
Add 4 darkness points.
What do you mean, add 4 darkness points?
Shelby's keeping it in. JC's bearing that trauma and embracing the darkness.
Well,
I guess we continue on our...
On the road again.
On the road again.
Could fix you, JC.
Wait.
Yep. Got a pop, roadie. One for the road.
So eventually you make it to the Valley of Monuments. Now, there's absolutely nothing in any of the source books that say what this is, so I'm just making it up. It is a wide valley set amidst dusty hills and rock outcroppings. At the edge of the valley, there are several monuments. There are statues, obelisks, remnants of temples and other buildings, all of first-come architectural and artistic design. It appears to be possibly some sort of holy site. The way it's set up with these miscellaneous buildings amongst the other much more obvious just religious monuments suggests that it might have been in some sort of a retreat, like a religious retreat, like a monk's monastery might be, except in a different fashion. Despite Mira being nearly untouched by the devastation of the Portal Wars, time has taken memory away from this strange place, so there aren't really any records on it. There's a lot more archaeological information than there is actual written information about what this place was and what function it performed. At the center of the valley, the floor of the valley is a giant broken mosaic plaza with mosaic roads, leading out toward the various clusters of monuments and buildings, as if it used to be like a walkway leading here and there. On the outskirts of the valley, there are newer structures. There's an archaeological headquarters and support area set up by the foundation, of course, because they're there to study it. There's simple housing for pilgrims that are set up in these sort of patterns of small communities in different areas around the outside as the Yaraban Trail, I don't remember, as the road ends. There's stores for food and other essential goods, most of them most likely for sale at a premium to the pilgrims who are out there. And as you enter, right along the side of the road, there's a raised platform where the flying boats park, so they can take on passengers and unload people who are on their way out there. As you finally make it to the Valley of Monuments, the sun is setting, so you're going to need to probably find some place to settle in for the night.
Can we ask Google?
Google access out here is unfortunately limited.
Question. So, is our hovercraft or hover car allowed to, or gravcraft allowed to travel freely around the area?
They won't let you drive it into the plaza. You kind of have to park it on the outskirts, just wherever.
Okay, so you have to travel in the interior on foot.
Yeah, they don't want you wrecking the place.
As far as like outside, you said there was development areas for like pilgrims, so we could presumably just find like a tavern or something.
Yep, pretty much.
Can we sleep in the car?
that sounds comfortable.
I'm a not farter, just so you guys know.
Yeah, how much room is in our Gravcraft?
Alter knew all about that.
Is it just like an SUV sized car?
It's a Gravcraft that holds
five people.
It's
two. That lets a standard car.
I imagine it like the speeder from episode 3.
Okay, that makes sense.
A New Hope.
No. It's bigger than that. It's more like, I would say it's more like a floating SUV because you have storage.
Like a floating Jeep. I imagine a floating Jeep. Okay. But like
bigger than that. But yeah.
Because you can
load shit in it and move stuff around.
It's partially a cargo vehicle and fits 5 people.
So we get like a sleeping bags and sit in the back theoretically, but that seems stupid.
Also
like
feasibly when Swayze grows to size, if you really want to.
Put him in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sidecar.
Oh, my God. I'll have to learn how to drive so I can get a sidecar. So should we find accommodation since it's nighttime? Or do we want to explore?
We can explore and look for combinations.
Yeah. Can we just drive around and kind of explore the area and see what sticks out?
You can drive around on the outside, like the outskirts of the valley, but if you want to go in...
We should park.
So yeah. The interior of the valley is all the monuments and everything. The outside is all the like the industrial...
The new stuff.
Yeah, okay. Is there only one area to park at?
No, well, there's not like a parking lot. You just park... If you have most people don't take GravCrafts out here, except probably the archaeologists. So you just park it somewhere.
Is there a certain time we're supposed to meet this person?
You have no idea.
Okay. So there's an archaeological headquarters, right?
Yes.
Why don't we head there first and we can see if we can find out who this person is, maybe?
Isn't it sunsetting?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Well, that's when it gets most active on this planet, though.
Right, because it's hot during the day.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the same planet?
Nighttime is the right time, right?
Yeah, let's get going.
Well, not for archaeologists, because they kind of need daylight to work.
Oh, that's true, I guess. Well, I say we give it a try, at least.
Well, I'll set up the RC drone to just keep an eye, and it'll ping us if anything tries to come in.
Okay. So, should we find a hotel? A tavern? Sure. What's the typical accommodations on this planet? Like, would it be an inn or like a...
Like hostel kind of situation.
Does that mean you like rent a bed and there's a shared bathroom or...
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like each little tiny community has a well that's drilled, so you go get your water there.
See, I imagine like the Japanese like hotel rooms where it's like the little like...
The coffin hotels.
The little bed pods.
How do you...
if there's... Large public rooms where people, there's just mats laying around and you just sleep there. I mean, people come out here... Pilgrims, primarily, so they're not really looking for a suite.
Do people, like, do pilgrims camp out here as well?
Yeah, you see several tents set up amongst, sort of, like, on the outlying areas of the newer built communities.
Do we have a tent?
Did you buy a tent?
No.
The only...
We could do a one-time setup with your little skill to like use some tarps and make us a little tent off the back of the GravCraft.
You could find another cave.
Huh? Why don't we just find a whatever the equivalent?
That's fine. Let's go explore around the outside to find a pub or a tavern. Or
yeah, maybe we can find some food accommodations. Yeah. Maybe attached to some.
Yeah.
Is there like a?
Yeah, in these communities, it's all right there within the middle. These aren't huge communities. They're a community. Each one of these little communities is like five or six buildings, half of them being hostels, the other half being areas where pilgrims can eat, drink, and talk about their revelations or travels or whatnot.
How far are each of these communities from each other?
I'd say they're spaced out pretty well. Maybe like not too far, like 500 feet.
Sure. Okay. Let's go. And how many? There's like what, like a bunch of them?
There's like four of them in this area because the road comes in. You see like a couple off on each side.
Okay, but it's kind of a roundish valley, or?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I would assume there's other little villages somewhere else in there too, or is it just the four little communities?
You just see the four.
Okay.
And then the archaeological area where they have their own housing and such, but that's all foundation.
Okay. I load my grab bike and speed off into the sunset like Darth Maul.
Jesus. You get lost in the desert and die of starvation thirst.
Or any of the four.
Going on a vision quest.
Interesting looking, like, or didn't even look like they're nicer than the other ones, or, I mean, I...
Wow.
Or, you know what I mean, like, which one has the most stuff?
Probably the ones nearer to the road.
Okay, let's go to one of those.
All right. We walk in sync with badass pose. Are you still wearing your outfit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So yeah. I guess we'll walk into one of the ones closer to the road.
All right, you walk in. There's like three or four dozen people milling about. There's an area like of entertainment where they're serving drinks. You're walking into one of the hostels, right? Or just a tavern?
Whatever you just described. Is that a tavern or is that a hostel?
That's the hostel. There's like a small area where you can get some food and drinks. And then in the back of the hostel is several doors which lead into... Basically, rooms where you rent mats to sleep.
Room and board.
Food and drinks like a restaurant, or food and drinks like just like...
Like simple fare. Just, you know, they have water.
Okay.
And then they have, you know, some stuff to snack on, basically.
Like Snoop.
Is there like a desk or something? Or how do you get a room?
It's a good question. Probably walk up to the person behind the bar.
Oh, okay. So there is a person there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can we approach him?
No.
Sorry, I'd like to approach a person at the bar.
Trip
and
on a banana.
No, the fruit.
Also, a door opens right in front of your face and you get slammed.
You're in the walls.
And then you're tackled by somebody.
Oh, I'd like to walk.
And then Jun stabs you.
Can we flag the... I'll flag the bartender. Excuse me.
Welcome, pilgrims. Kind of looks from one to the other.
We're pilgrims of a sort, yes.
I'm still in my pilgrim garb, so... I give a bow.
He bows.
I'm also my pilgrim guard, but remember, when I lift my arms...
It's pitless.
You cut the armpits out.
As is the style.
yeah.
Like Mean Girls, only you did the armpit.
My name is Frank McLeod, and this is my crew. We are pilgrims of a sort, but we were hoping to find some accommodations.
Of course.
Would it be possible to get 5 rooms?
Not 5 rooms. We only have 4 rooms, but you can have 5 mats. It's 5 per a person for a sleep.
How many are in a room?
Each room holds 12.
It's a hostel. It's basically like...
Yeah, I wanted to know the ratio of how much we'd be taken up in one room and would we all be in the same room.
It's like a YMCA. Like
just a moment. And let me confer with my colleagues. just a second.
He looks really confused.
What is it? We'll take it. What is the problem?
Okay.
Yeah, Glen Yarborough?
We'll take 5 mats.
Yeah, even the rich kid's fine with it.
Do you want to rent out 1 room for us? Is that the problem?
No, it seems like a prima donna.
No, it's fine.
We don't do that. Yeah,
we'll take 5 mats.
Very well.
Could we all be together?
Of course. You sleep wherever you want. You pay the fee. Sleep wherever you want, and then you have the water or and some various things to snack on. If you want finer fare, I suggest the building across the street. They have warm food and the like.
Will you save our spots if we leave and come back?
Then you take a mat. You take a mat. Yes.
Okay.
So
cool.
How do you
sleep wherever is available? We're only half full right now, so there's plenty of space.
Because it's not super late right now, right? It's just like sun just went down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have rooms for the night. Do you want to go explore anything else?
Let's go explore.
Okay.
Well, we have room for tonight.
Yeah. Hey, room for tonight.
Yeah, mat.
Who wants mama cuddle?
Is there any interesting goods in this part
only
of town?
Only if you want.
There's a tavern where you can get food and drink.
You said there was a shop, though.
General supplies stuff, you know, that you might need for the road. So, like, clothing.
Can we see if the archaeologist place is open?
Yeah.
The what place?
The archaeologist, like,
thing. Yeah, walking over to the archaeologist camp.
Is it far?
No.
No? Yeah, sure. We might as well see if there's anyone in there, right?
Yeah, it's on the outside, though, right? Like, it's not outside of the thing?
Yeah, it's not in the valley. No one's permitted to build anything in the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You guys begin to make your way over to the archaeological HQ zone, and you see someone walking briskly towards you. As she comes closer, you see that she's probably in her early 30s, blonde hair that's cut very short. In the fading light, you can tell she's tanned and also kind of reddened from working in the sun all the time. She's wearing practical, rugged clothing, browns, tans, and yellows. And she is carrying in front of her a long rectangular box. And she marches straight toward you. I saw you approach. You must be the ones that I am expecting.
And you are?
My name is Shay.
Ah, yes,
She looks around at you all. Does anybody have something to put this in? We should do this quickly. She keeps glancing over her shoulder.
Come, we'll put it in our grab craft.
Well, I mean, yes, don't be seen walking around with this.
Okay.
And just hands it to one of you randomly.
I'll just pull it under my, like, pilgrim robe.
Yeah, pilgrim robe, yeah.
It's freaking heavy. Like, as you pull it, it's here. Like, oof.
Okay.
You notice quickly that whatever's in the box weighs a bit.
Could we have them sit on it on the ground to hide it and just come drive the grab craft over and pick it up?
We can't drive it into town.
Wait, this isn't town. This is open space between the community and the archaeological HQ. Okay.
Yeah, I'll look it over there.
It's like we could just pick you up here and then nobody will see you dragging it.
Yeah. Just the
okay.
Well, you don't have to drag it. It's not so heavy you need to drag it. Yeah, it's I'm a, it's about it. The box itself is like a little under 3 feet long and about a foot on each side.
Is it weigh about I'd like a box of like board games?
Go with you.
No.
Could Jafar carry it in distinctly where like nobody could tell he was carrying
Let's
something
just
in
make
his
risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, unless somebody comes right after you.
Well,
yeah, I said we just walk briskly and list lazily to the left over to the graph.
Can we stand in such a way that we block line of sight to the box? Like, you know, like
yes, we can. Like, and hold, we will. Yeah. And we're marching.
And walk in sync.
Show us that Kua Pop, like you know, that formation.
I want June on my behind, and you three can, like, lead the way.
Right. Shay nods to you. Then our deal is concluded.
Yes. Bye, Shay.
Yeah, unless bye. You have any, unless there's anything else I need to know.
Is the box dangerous?
Were you being pursued?
No, not to our knowledge.
Does anyone know that we have it?
No.
Okay.
There were several of these artifacts found, and they are not going to miss one.
You were looking over your shoulder. Were you being pursued?
No, they're all busy eating and having their. After hours drink, I just wanted to make sure nobody saw me out here. I should really get back.
Is it dangerous or perishable or fragile?
No.
None of those things?
No. As a matter of fact, it's quite durable, you'll find. I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
It should
Bye.
Be fine.
Yep. All right. Half half.
Turns and briskly walks back toward the camp.
I say we don't even need those rooms. Like, we're not supposed to mess around here once we get the thing, right?
You could drive back in the dark.
I'll do it.
It's not recommended, though.
Oh, to travel in the dark, right?
To travel in the dark. Yeah. It is not recommended.
You run the risk of running into bandits.
Well,
or
running over a pilgrim.
Yalshir the Devourers.
We already passed
that old man again. Whatever. Can we I've got another story on deck. Let's do it.
Can we stash the box Hi. In our secret stash? Where we had.
Oh, the one you built into it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so we. Okay. Yeah. Let's go put it in there.
Yeah. The question is, should we
I'll sleep in the car.
Okay. Thank you. That was going to be the.
Oh, that's smart. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because
I leave Jinx on though, so
I'll also sleep in the car. Makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I can make it. I
you two are just gonna run off with this, aren't you?
I could make a camp. Like I could jury rig a one time use camp in our.
I mean,
I don't see the problem with that. Yeah,
out of some tarps. I can
MacGyver. Why don't we go buy a tent?
Yeah, let's go buy a tent.
I'll go buy a tent while they're chilling.
Okay, cool.
You guys stay with
look up the price of that later. Do you buy a tent?
Yeah.
As pilgrims often do.
Cool. We'll stash the box in the hidey hole and camp out.
Yeah.
By the car.
The question is, if they do discover that it's missing and everyone freaks out, do we flee immediately or do we try and blend in?
Well, that's why we're right by the car.
Right by the car.
Okay. We flee immediately.
And then first light, we're out of here.
Okay.
We should also donate our rooms that we bought to someone.
Yeah.
Also, maybe... Take watch.
Yeah, watch us during the night, yeah.
Can we grab some hot food to go from the building that the hostel...
I bought some sundries and shit
when
I bought the tent, because I figured I'd be cooking.
Yeah, okay. You can let them know to donate our beds to someone.
Yeah, we
you can call me that, too. We do have local...
Yeah.
Your charity is greatly appreciated. The next 5 people who walk in get free mats.
Oh, see, that's nice.
May the merchant bless them.
I like that we did that. That made me feel good. Yeah.
You're always trying to fix things.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well.
Cool. All right. We'll take watch and make some s'mores.
All right. You camp out, start a little campfire.
I make some hot chocolate, but I add some dried chilies to it, so it's spicy. Mm. So, like, you drink it and it's warm, but then it gets hot and then you cool down.
Mm. Nice.
I sing songs.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Alrighty then.
Sade.
Oh god.
The night passes uneventfully. Well, get a decent sleep. No more sandstorms coming in to wreck your day. And then the next morning the sun begins to rise. And the coolness of the night begins to slowly be replaced by the oppressive heat of the day. Is there anything else you would like to do before leaving the Valley of Monuments? Or are you just heading right back?
I suggest we GTF.
We don't explore.
I think we
didn't even see the Valley of Monuments, but I think we're supposed to hightail it out here as soon as we can, right?
We're not supposed to dilly or dally.
Here's the thing. We came all the way out here, and we're just going to turn around and leave. What if they're like, hey, who do you think's got this stolen box? Those guys that came all the way out here and just turn around and left? Or those guys that
we
maybe...
We came at sunset.
I know you're very shabba-dabba-do, but we gotta be a shabba-dabba-do.
All right, let's just get going.
I vote to leave.
All right, let's just leave.
I'd say stay long enough. Oh, God damn. I'd say I'm gonna stay long enough to make us enough food for the day. And then, yeah.
See, the more time we spend here, the more time we get to get noticed.
That's in a boogie. Yeah.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
For JC.
All right. All right. You start heading back along the Ottoman Trail.
To the danger zone.
Is there anything you want to do while you're taking your trip?
I'll keep
make
a
some
lookout.
Bracelets, maybe?
Duh.
Okay.
I feel like we got the box too easily. I really feel like
that's
we
what
got...
he said.
I just,
yeah, I mean,
I don't remember if we were told not to look in the box, but I'm always
we're told not
dead
to
ass.
Like fiddle with it. I think
but I'm always curious to what I'd like to know what I'm transporting.
Do you want to open the box?
I think we're told not to fiddle.
What's
with
in
it.
The box?
I'm trying to remember, but our
were
captain's being very quiet, so, and he's also in the
yeah,
front
but
seat.
Yeah, never heard
so.
Of him to look at.
I mean, yes, it has.
But what if it does?
Indiana Jones.
Although it is going to be very hard for me to open up the hidey hole without you guys noticing that I'm doing it. So
you guys
can object when I start doing it. So
I think you secured the hidey hole to the underside, didn't you? So don't you need to
stop? No, it was
stop?
Like in the center of the car. Like,
oh, okay. I got the impression that
weird
like
console like behind the seat.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the question. Do you open
it's
the box or not?
Obsessed, yeah.
I have a description of the artifact if you
yes,
want it.
Yes, I
want
to look at it.
Not... then you don't have to worry about it.
Like well, we didn't get to explore the Valley of Monuments. We got to look in the box.
Wait, they found them and they saw them, and I don't hear that everyone's dead
think,
from their faces melting
yeah,
off. So I want
to
look at.
We're told not to break it.
Well, I'm gonna look at
not,
it.
Not to look at
and
it.
And she also said it was durable as shit. Okay. I'm gonna look at it.
Fuck it.
Right. Is anybody gonna try to stop Jafar from opening?
No,
the
no,
box?
No. We're looking at it. Okay. If we don't get to see the Valley of Monuments and explore, we're gonna look at this.
Well, I also just want to know what we're transporting. I'm paranoid.
All right, you open it up. Inside you see a stone relic. It is about 2.5 feet tall and less than a foot at its widest point. It has a pyramid-like top that is covered in strange runes. The top itself is about 8 inches of the 2.5 feet in tallness and height. At the base of the pyramid, there's a long cylinder, smooth and unadorned, that comes out of it like a, it looks like a oversized arrow. And
what's this motion,
Stevie
Jason?
Is making strokey motions.
Well, you were the one who made the strokey motion.
I was demonstrating the shape. Where
and
was
the shape
I?
Is very strokey motion.
where was I? At the very bottom of the cylindrical area are a dozen small holes, each about a little bit thinner than like the width of a pencil. It's made of stone, or appears to be made of stone, that feels lighter than it should if it were stone, and it's at the same time somehow feels denser than stone, as if you could just bang the shit out of it onto a rock and it wouldn't even scratch it. There's something abnormal about it. And it appears to be untouched by time. Now, the one curious thing, and Jafar notices it instantly, as the runes that are carved upon the pyramid are the same runes, or at least they appear to be identical to those
my screen.
That appeared on the screen of the Mahdi when the ship's computer went mental.
Did I try to read what it says?
No, you do not have enough reference to translate this particular language yet.
Can we take a picture of it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to snap some pics with my little holograph.
Like in the same style or the exact same symbols?
I would say Jafar is probably 100% that these are this is the exact same language.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. So the portals, what are they made of? Like the outer, like the portal is just a space.
The portal is just a big shimmering field that hangs out in space.
Space goo.
Is there anywhere on our ship that looks like
it would fit,
like, the other part to this? Like, is there anything that would fit in them holes or anything? Does Rebus recognize anything? Because she knows that ship pretty well, where there would be anywhere on the ship that could be a part that would be inserted somewhere.
I'm going to say...
It goes right next to the truck nuts of the ship.
There's a twinge in the back of your head as you're thinking through this and trying to remember each individual part of your ship. You can't think of anything on the ship, and then something strikes you. A moment when you're a little strung out on a very strange drug, where you found yourself next to your daughter in a strange room with a woman who is making proclamations. It looks very similar to the upside-down pyramid that was above this woman as she was doing whatever she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember that.
I remember. And in turn, as I believe you, I told you already, but that device itself, whatever she was doing, looks very similar to the proxy device that you were using when you had your little vision. Hmm. At this point, everybody's going to make an observation roll, and you get to use your team bonus thing.
Oh, we're getting ambushed.
Situational awareness.
Yes, your group talent or whatever that, I believe that's what it's called, the group talent.
I think that's plus, is it two or one?
What does my third eye do?
I think it's...
Doesn't it do something similar?
Yeah.
I know we were using it before.
Plus two.
I don't remember. Do you remember what it is? Is it two or one?
Yeah.
I feel like it's plus two. I feel like we're getting dwarfed.
Well, he's looking at the skills right now, so...
I think it's plus three.
I think it's plus seven.
It's one of our ship skills, right?
Well, I'm also I've also had another personal skill where I'm paranoid, so I'm checking to see if that works too.
Third eye plus two observation when trying to detect a sneak attack or an ambush.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is that what's happening?
Well, yeah. No, that's my skill, baby.
Ours is
situational awareness plus two to observation when testing it to discover an ambush. So everybody gets stack. Plus two, and you get plus four. Okay. Yep, there's nothing that says they do not stack.
Jafar TLA with the four extra
paranoia. Always getting jumped.
So you said observation, correct?
Yep.
Oh, I got one. I got one.
Ooh, I got three.
Two.
One.
And Jafar?
I need to make room.
The man with all the dice.
I'm gonna push it.
I got three.
I don't care. I'm rolling a shit ton of die. I want to like.
Wait, what was that?
I want the option to.
I thought there was another six.
What?
No, I think you only.
No,
got
there
one.
Was only okay. One.
You got three.
Yeah, two. I also got three. Right,
so two, you got plus three.
So you, Jafar, and Rebus are the first to notice it. You've been on this road, on the trail. Kind of slowing down every once in a while to not run over pilgrims on accident. Cruising along, kicking up dust, and you're about 3 hours into your ride back. It's a long stretch. You haven't seen any pilgrims for a bit. And then you see, off to the side, coming out of a rocky outcropping, dust kicking up as what looked to be a half dozen grav bikes come racing towards you on an obvious course to intercept. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
I just got all my dice for my maneuvering to get away.
Someone break out that my fucking dial.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the first combat in fucking six episodes since we started?
Let's fucking go.
I mean, I was waiting for a moment to initiate some sort of ritualistic man combat with JC to prove who was.
There's like a moonroof on our grab craft, right?
Do you want to arm wrestle JC?
I'm going to get up on top and I'm going to threaten him with the...
You'd win every time.
I don't think you have the... Do you have the most threat?
I'm really threatening. There's no follow-up. There's zero follow-up.
So I will tell you right now, I have all of the rules for vehicle combat and combat ready for next time. However, I'm going to be taking a week off of recording next week. Jason has personal... like putting his house in order, things to take care of.
Put your house in order.
And I'm going to be recovering.
Oh yes.
From a trip to Chicago to see NCT Dream.
NCT Glitch Mode.
You going to Boys Town afterward?
Me and Anthony to Boys Town. Maybe.
Boys Town is really fun.
Yeah,
it's like the gay district in Chicago.
It's called Boys Town.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's where I ever had my first chartreuse drink.
Ooh.
And then I went to a club called the Jackhammer.
Good.
Until 4 a.m.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I saw a lot of ass.
A lot of jackhammering.
Ass and balls there.
That's a balls, too?
Yeah.
Balls are out of the gay club?
Back ballage.
I don't know if they were supposed
to slip out. I mean, they also have adult masks for, like, it's private, you know.
Anything goes?
Anything goes.
It's girls and guys, though, right?
I was there with a friend who had, like, just come out. So I was just a support person.
I'm a wing bitch.
Yeah.
Just the healer.
Yeah, I was just there.
I'm the paladin.
With my little pouch of aspirin.
I got you, honey. I'm watching out.
Purine tablets.
I would like to say that you ended tonight with 8 darkness points.
Oh.
The lowest, I think, since probably episode 1.
Amazing.
Which is probably going to be good for you, because I'm going to burn through these motherfuckers trying to shoot you up.
Now we're going to be giving you some back.
Oh, yeah. If I don't get...
So who levels up?
Nobody yet.
I thought you were just giving a free level.
That was a joke.
Best story.
Oh, that was April Fool's. No,
that's contractually obligated.
Yaojin levels up because my story was obviously the best.
Birds and mice, baby. You can't beat them.
Well, I had time to write mine now.
I rolled just for fun to get out of here, and I did get 5 successes.
Jesus Christ.
So,
Shelby.
We could play. Nice. We could just play a minute more.
JC Waterfalls, King of the Circuit, which can't wait till you guys get a chance to grab race and then watch Shelby roll no success.
Zero. I'm pre-embarrassed.
Yeah, if we just outrun them, we don't have to fight them, right?
You just fight. Like,
yeah, there's a possibility. They're on an intercept course with you. And I will say that Grav Bikes have a base movement of 30, and Grav Crafts has a base movement of 20.
Oh, they're faster than us?
Yes. Well, although you're
bigger than
hello, Alver, your grab craft has been souped up. So you have certain amounts of bonuses. You still may need to do some fancy maneuvering and make better piloting checks than they
do.
How many do
we have increased on that?
I don't have any stats for the grab craft. We can figure that all out. Because the way I've been doing it was bonus dice for the grab circuit with the weird rules I threw out there. So we'll figure out how that equates to actual changes to the mechanical systems that are already in place.
I'm assuming like the craft is way heavier than the bikes, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also holds smaller people, whereas the grab bikes hold one people.
So, like, if you, like, slammed into
two speed, one handling.
So if you, like, slammed into a bike with a craft, it would probably, like...
You can ram. You have to have more hit points than the opponent to ram, so therefore you can ram them, they can't ram you.
Couldn't you mind control or, like...
Probably.
Could we telekinesis a rock into their...
You guys got 2 weeks to plan
them drive
your offensive.
Into each other. A row of them.
Could we lean out the window and wave our pistols really menacingly, though, and make gang signs?
Whee!
Or something?
You could try that.
Yeah!
Just pump up the music. Just be like, bong, 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 bong. Just like real slow. Just like me mugging them.
June's just like playing like guitar with like flame shooting.
I was thinking we go Mad Maxi with it. We tie Zul just to the front of the grab craft.
Witness me! Quiet, blood bags.
All right, so that's the end of this episode.
Yay.
We'll take a little break, and we'll be back for more later. And in the meanwhile, we continue to publish, because we got 4 in the can now after this one, I guess, right? No, 3 in the can. Anyway, I have been Jason, I have been the Game Master.
I have been Jafar Tilley, played by Jordy.
I have been Rebus McClintock, played by Sam.
I've been almost a really sick getaway, JC Waterfalls, played by Shelby.
Stevie as Jun Collage.
And Ellie as Frank McCloud.
Plain Cloud.
Night. Bye-bye.
I have 5 successes written down, so I will not be forgetting that.
Thank you.
No.
Sure. I'm inspired to get a Matchbox 20 tattoo.
Sure, baby. Just put like 3 a.m. I must be lonely.
Or bare naked ladies.
I'm just a little unwell, like a ceiling fan.
Oh my god, yeah.
With each blade. If it was going to be like a person, if it's not going to be like a symbol of the band, it's going to be like their face. It's going to be Sugar Ray from when they were inside of the Scooby-Doo movie.
No. Do you have a hidden sublime tattoo that you've never told any about?
No, but are we getting bad band tattoos?
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm actually just going to get a tramp stamp that says, I'd rather be listening to Smooth.
Or Lou Bega, just like a big...
Oh, my God.
She loves Lou Bega.
I love Lou Bega, so that's not a stretch.
Just like a portrait.
Of no, Lube. You should get like a Mambo number 5 tattoo where it's like all the names and they're crossed out. Yeah. And you find the one that you want.
That's actually so funny.
That is the best idea, actually.
I think it's you. It would just be you.
Yeah.
And
you on the bottom.
Hearts surrounded.
Yeah.
One of my favorite elephant stories is that elephant who went to a woman's funeral. And, like, dumped her out of her coffin and just, like, fuck shit up. And people are like, why did that elephant do that? And it's because she used to guide poachers to find the elephants. And that elephant was like, I'm so glad you're dead.
Fuck this bitch.
I'm going to end this. It is so...
I might have forgiven, but I have not forgotten,
exactly.
Bitch.
She's like, you're not having a peaceful death. Guess how she died? That elephant trampled her to death.
Fuck yeah.
Good.
Held that bitch and was like, not dead. Yeah.
Put that bitch in the ground.
It trampled her to death and then yeah. went to the funeral and trampled her again just to make sure she was dead.
Elephant kills woman and returns to her funeral to attack her.
The question is, though, who told the elephant about the funeral?
The elephant's... has an informant on the inside.
Somebody, there was a sympathizer in that funeral party. Yeah.
I don't trust this guy, so can we just like shoot him right off the bat and have a nice quiet cave set?
Oh my god.
Just smoke some Arash.
I think some bad shit's about to go down.
Fucking squirrely ass dude walks in out of a fucking hot ass sand desert carrying an enormous bag and it's just like, I'm fine. I was just checking in on everybody. You want to tell a story while we sit here? Yes.
One of the icons is known as the Traveler.
I have a feeling it's the Traveler in disguise as a person.
You guys think everybody's an icon in disguise?
No, literally, sometimes like,
you're
like
too pretty.
Hey, kid, you're handsome. Why don't you become a K-pop idol?
That's why I like a very
Isn't that weird? Like, you just walk up and like, I know a bunch of bitches who are going to be sexually attracted to you.
In about 5 to 10 years.
So let's go.
So who's the ugliest K-pop star?
Like, they're literally being followed around by a professional photographer who's telling them to pose every 5 minutes.
That's an image of one of them, like, sneezing so hard they're, like, shitting their pants.
There's one just, like, named Roy who's just, like, he's just, like...
No, me and Braylee came
I'm Roy!
Braylee and I came up with the ugliest name for a K-pop star. It's Cletus.
Cletus?
It's Cletus.
I would love a Cletus. Like, my bias is Cletus.
Hi, I'm Cletus, the cool pop star.
Because we were talking about what would be the ugliest name for a K-pop star. And I was like, what about Eugene? And then like, we're like, no. It can be Q. Eugene can be Q. And I was like, you're right, because you can nickname Eugene. Genie? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that'd
be
so cute.
Or Yu-Yu.
Yu-Yu.
Hi, I'm Yu-Yu.
I just can't imagine an ugly K-pop star if you're searching the whole world.
I think there should be one in every group.
That's what I'm saying. Like, one of the other ones look really good.
Just like a reject. Like, just...
He's just, like, missing an ear.
Yeah.
Or, like, one from North Korea, and he's, like, visibly shorter than the rest of them.
And he's, like, 120 pounds.
You can hear him singing because his dialect is different. He's like always slightly offbeat.
It's like
it's always so serious too.
Like Russian.
Yep.
He's just always in like the same military uniform.
Instead of having like one of the cute haircuts, he's got the Kim Jong-un. They tried to break it from him, but his hair will literally not grow any other way.
See, I the premise of the show never really made sense to me. So he is a sea sponge, but he looks like a kitchen sponge.
Yeah, the whole like lore is that it's Bikini Bottom, which they assume is under the Bikini Atoll, which is where they did a bunch of nuclear bombing testing. They think that it is like the fish right under that was affected by radiation, which is why they
are fucked up.
Alive.
Yeah. Well, why do they wear clothes? Pants.
Well, they developed society
because they developed shame upon having
sure sponges don't have genitalia that is visible to the naked eye.
Some cartoon characters,
man. Why is there a damn squirrel living in a dome under there?
Why is Winnie the Pooh just wear a shirt?
Yeah.
How did a fucking...
he's got no penis.
How did a crab fuck a whale and then have a whale kid?
But does he have nipples? Yeah. Like, why the shirt, though? You know?
Maybe his penis is on his chest. Kicks you right in the taint.